This call is being recorded.
Hey, John.
What's up?
Nothing, man. How are you doing down there?
Good. It's a little chilly right now.
I know. We got that today. It moved in today. It's brutal.
Well, I think tomorrow's a high 68. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yep. Who just joined from Pittsburgh?
67.
Hello, 67. Let's see if people followed my strong worded, we're starting at 5.
Got 1 minute on my clock. There's a few more.
Juan is in. Is that you, Dr. Richardson?
No, sir. It was Matthew Miner.
Matt, how are you, pal?
I'm doing fantastic. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. We're going to get started here in just another minute or two.
Hi, Tom. It's Matthew Richardson.
There you are. Wonderful to have you on.
Well, you know what? In the famous words of Kesha, the party don't start until I walk in. Hey, I got to tell you, my students were blown away by the amazing gift you provided, and we are so thankful in the office for it. Thank you and the entire chapter, sincerely.
Well, it's our pleasure. Glad we could do it. And
I actually, so when they dropped it off, they made Kyle sign for it because we were out, and Kyle just turned 21 yesterday.
Yeah.
So he was all excited to be able to sign for it. And when I was opening it, I was framing it like it was sent to me by some suitor. and so the students were like, well, what do you mean? Did you go on a date? Did you? And I was like, I don't know. This is just moving way too fast. I don't know. And then I was like, guys, I'm just kidding. Clearly this is not.
So, no. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it made the splash that it did, and enjoy it. We're glad to do it. We almost have a full house here. So I'm going to, for those of you who are on Uber Conference, I'm going to switch over to the agenda, and we'll get started here in just a second. Just bear with me for one other thing. I'm working off of two laptops right now, and I just have to log into my other email for reference on the call. Just one more minute. Okay. Okay, I'm good. All right, I'm going to officially call this November meeting of the Alpha Rho Alumni Chapter Board of Directors meeting to order. For those of you that can log on to the Uber Conference website at uberconference.com/WVPICAP. John George, please call roll for us.
Sure, well, Bob Loeffner, I believe, is joining us tonight, but we do have his report. Anthony Grayley, regional leader for Charleston.
Here.
Ken Burka, regional leader for the Carolinas and Charlotte. Eric Baldwin, regional leader for DC, and our chief operating officer.
I'm here for both of them.
Patrick Farley, AP 67 historian.
Here.
Jordan Feathers, vice president, chief risk officer.
Here.
Craig Winkleman, vice president, fundraising. Jason Hyatt, Vice President, Chief Information Officer.
I'm here.
John George is here. Patrick Folio, Treasurer, Chief Financial Officer.
I'm here.
Matt Loffa, Executive Vice President. Tom Begley, President, Chief Executive Officer.
Present.
And then we also have Dr. Matthew Richardson here. Was there someone else?
Yes. We also have Matthew Miner with us. I'll introduce him in just a second.
I believe that's it right now.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a motion to dispense with the reading of last month's minutes?
So moved.
Brother Farley, is there a second, please?
Second.
Without any objection, we're going to dispense so we can move on to our guests, who we are very thrilled to have with us. I invited Dr. Richardson, who is the new-ish director of fraternity and sorority life from WVU, onto our call because I wanted to formally introduce him to the board and just give a comment or two about him in just a second. And I also invited Matthew Miner, who's the graduate assistant in the office of fraternity and sorority life at WVU. And I've asked him to join us now and for however long he'd like to join us, because Matthew's going to run point for the fraternity and sorority life office for our expansion back onto campus starting in January. So we're thrilled to have him, and I'm certainly thrilled to have Dr. Richardson join us. Some of us got an opportunity to meet Matthew at our alumni, our homecoming tailgate, when he dropped by for a few minutes. And a few of us had the opportunity to meet him on a more, intimate basis for dinner when we went in to present to the IFC. We got to meet Matthew as well during that time, and we got to know him and spent some time talking to him. And I'm really impressed with the direction that he's taken the fraternities and sororities in already. I think that there's going to be a marked change from the past. And I think it's consciously being done. I think there's a lot of thought that's gone into what he's approached it. And then he's been just a wonderful help for us during the process of applying back to and being approved by the IFC to return in January. So I wanted to give him a few minutes just to so I could introduce him, but also so that he could spend a little bit of time just chatting about what he sees at campus and what his direction is going to be for Greek life in the future. So, Matthew, the floor is yours. Thank you for joining us.
Matthew of two T's, which is me, or one T, which is the GA? I'm assuming you mean me.
Dr. Richardson, thank you.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So thank you, gentlemen, for having me. And I'll be brief, as I know you probably have a lot of business to conduct. And it's a Wednesday evening. And I actually have both Matt and I have a chapter president's meeting at 7. So we also have stuff going on tonight. But Tom, thank you so much for that introduction. And I want to start off by saying that personally, I've always had a wonderful relationship with Pi Kappa Phi fraternity. It is one of those organizations that interfraternally I've always looked up to. The work they've done with the ASTP program and Dr. Lori Hart joining your staff and really role modeling appropriate behaviors interfraternally is pretty significant. I'm a brother of Delta Chi, and where I do absolutely love my organization, I consider myself to be a really good friend to Pi Kapp. So very, very excited that we're able to have the Alpha Rho chapter join us. Most specifically to the expansion coming up in the spring, I wanted to let you know some of the recent developments that has happened, even in the past few days. And I'm not sure if even Tom is aware of this, but the IFC has sort of bought on to my philosophy. And I mean that sincerely, because I'm very intentional not to force an ideology on them. I think that's been done in the past. And I think when we treat our students like they're not able to make good decisions, they often behave, making poor decisions. And so I really want them to buy into how good an expansion can be for a campus. And so Pi Kapp was approved to begin colonization next semester. And Tom and I have spoken. Matt is a graduate assistant who advises IFC, will add this to his other duties as assigned to sit on the board, ex officio, and help Pi Kapp headquarters as they begin their colonization recruitment efforts. I have met personally with two individuals, one that has reached out to Tom, that are leaders of the Mountaineer Fund, Dance Marathon, who have expressed interest, that are unaffiliated men. There's one of the directors in Student Government Association who's currently unaffiliated, who's just fantastic. I have a meeting coming up with to talk about Pi Kapp preliminary So our office is committed to this expansion. And what's significant about that is that we're going to welcome the people, the on the ground, the boots on the ground, growth consultants and specialists to have office hours and space in the mountain layer in our office. Unfortunately, we do have limited resources. We can't house them, but you know, that is obviously an expense the headquarters has budgeted, but they will be partners. And those gentlemen, we work to develop them too. A lot of them like to go into, they're thinking about higher ed. So they'll have mentorship opportunities from our level, from the office. But the other thing that has happened that is significant is the IFC has actually frozen expansion after PICAP and has decided to engage in what's called an expansion plan 2020. And what this means is we're going to bring on four fraternities beginning in the year 2020. And it's likely going to start with Beta Theta Pi's recolonization of the Beta Psi chapter. They literally just resubmitted an expansion plan the day of the vote, actually. And so we were very strategic with the IFC to say, hey, listen, there's a new era of WVU Greek life. And because of that, a lot of national organization wants to come here. Given the NIC's open expansion policy, we have to manage expansion. You know, we have to be able to say, this is what's good for our community. If we have 30 more fraternities come on here, that's not strategic, that's not visionary thinking. So what can we do? So the IFC has approved an expansion plan, the expansion plan 2020. And so we'll begin likely with Beta Theta Pi in the fall of 2020. We'll have another fraternity who will apply in the fall of 2021. We'll take a break for the 2022-2023 academic year. Then we'll have another fraternity 2023 and another fraternity 2024. And so essentially, we've contacted Will Foran at the NIC. Kyle drafted up a letter with our expansion policies and said, here's our essentially our RFP that we're throwing out there, and send us what you can. And this spring semester, we will do essentially interviews. Nationals will come here, they'll sit in front of an expansion committee on IST, and we will slate them for 2020. Why this is important? Well, it shows that one, people are noticing that WVU is becoming the place to be for Greek life, and that's something we're very, very proud of. But number two, it also shows a commitment to PICAPify, because what we're saying is PICAP is going to get between spring 18 and fall 2020 to get its feet on the ground. And that's a number of semesters. And I think that'll be really, really substantial for the colony as it's expanding. Aside from that, we recently chartered a group of Gamma, Greeks Advocating the Mature Management of Alcohol on campus. And they'll be doing a lot of peer-to-peer workshops about appropriate alcohol use, and we're partnering with Well WVU and actually co-advising that group. We are working on finalizing our Fraternity and Sorority Alumni Council, and I've had a number of alums contact me very interested in getting that up and going and establishing an alumni mentorship program for the undergraduates and our current alumni, as well as just getting a general alumni newsletter, something that we can even add them to the weekly Greek newsletter. That's something that we're being very intentional to do. And then as of last week, we established a chapter of Gamma Sigma Alpha Greek Academic Honor Society, which recognizes 3.5 and above in the junior or senior year in terms of grade point average. So we're focusing on academic achievement as well. So that was a lot of information I just thrown at you. I hope at least the PICAP stuff stuck to you. But I would be willing to answer any questions or take any feedback at this point of anything that you may think is relevant for me to know.
Yeah, please, guys. Anything?
Okay. Matt, it's Patrick Farley, AP 67, which gives away my age, I believe, a little bit. You went to Duquesne University.
I did, sir.
Is that? No, please. My dad is a sir.
I did, my man.
Is that where you joined Delta Chi?
That is, yep.
I was the Greek life director at Duquesne University when I brought on Delta Chi and chartered them there.
Oh, so you know Sister B?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. What a small world.
So I just thought that
that's great.
Little bit of information. There were a number of your fraternity brothers back in the day in the early 90s when I was working at Duquesne that were very important folks on campus, and I remember those days very well.
Oh, that's so great to hear, and I could probably list names like Vinnie DiCamillo and all this stuff of our founding brothers that you probably would recognize. So I would love next time to get together and talk about that wonderfully pretentious Catholic institution that I hail from, because it's such an amazing place. So what a small world. Thanks for sharing that. That's really, really great.
Anyone else? I will tell you guys what I told Dr. Richardson. I think we're committed, and I think we've talked about this for a long time as a board. We are committed to making a concerted effort to partner with his office and offer any type of support that we can to be great partners with him and Jessica and Matt and all the rest of the staff in the IFC. We have a long and unfortunately, I think, bad history with alumni and the advise in the Greek Life office, which is now Direct Fraternity and Sorority Life, where it was very contentious. It was very looking out for their own groups. It wasn't good. And we're going to try to model the best partner relationship that we can with his office so that he can do his job and we can provide great advice for our student members. So I'm thrilled that you joined us tonight. You are welcome at all times at any of these calls, and certainly our alumni functions. I think I told you we have two official, one in the fall and one in the spring. So you're always welcome to join us for those and participate. I know our guys would love to have you around. And Matthew with one T, you're certainly welcome as well. And we're for the time that you're with us and what you're going to be helping us on. If there's anything you need from us, you should know that it's just a phone call away. So thank you both for joining us tonight.
I appreciate that very much. And I'm going to say one last thing, and then if it's okay, I'm going to peace out because I got to get some stuff done before the 7 o'clock. But one of the things that I will tell you, and obviously Matt has a voice, and we're going to let him say a few things. But one of the things that I've seen about coming here to Morgantown is everybody and their grandmother is interconnected. And that's not a West Virginia joke. That's very true. And even today, I was talking to someone who, you know, my assistant director, Jessica, she knew since she was a little girl and is best friends with her dad and all these things. One of the things that I encourage alumni to do is, you know, part of my job is customer service. And so there's always going to be those alums that, and I fielded one today, likes to call me and say, oh my God, we see what's happening at Texas State. Oh my God, you see what's happening here. You got to fix this. You got to whatever, right? And that's okay for me to field, and I'm happy to have those conversations. But if you can role model the appropriate alumni response to be able to say, hey, look, he's in the Greek Life business. That's what he does. If he called you every day and said, you need to do this and tell you how to do your job, you'd be furious. And of course, some of you have to deal with that too, you know, so you're sympathetic. But I want these alums that are passionate, maybe a little bit angry, maybe it's a little bit misplaced. I don't want them to go away. You know, I don't want them to just move on. I want them to stay engaged. I just want them to get on board. And so, you know, they, like some undergraduate students, are never going to view me as someone who has their best interest in mind, no matter what I do. So I would hope that in your circles, if you're out at a WVU function and there's a couple alums around and you're all Greek and they start talking about current things, I don't need you to defend me. I just need you to say, hey, this is what's going on there. Here's this guy's number. Seriously, give him a call. Or, no, that's not true. I'm involved. This is what's actually happening. I think we got to get our alums on a more positive note so that their involvement will be productive and not protagonist. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me. Tom, you and I keep in contact on a pretty regular basis. So any help I can be to you, let me know. And we're so excited to have PICAP back in just actually a couple short weeks.
Thank you. That's awesome. We're looking forward to it. Thanks again, guys. Enjoy your president's meeting.
Have a blessed holiday season. Bye-bye.
Thanks. See ya. Okay, gentlemen. The rest of our business, we're going to have to get through in 25 minutes. So brevity is going to be key for tonight. If you have no report, it's fine to say I have no report for this week. So I'm going to jump back to the conference and get off of here for a second. I just want to see. Okay, Ken, you've joined us, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. Regional leaders, do you have anything, Ken, to report today?
No, other than I did some tailgating research Monday night at the Panthers game, and I think that we're going to have a good time next Labor Day.
Oh, great. Excellent. I'm glad to hear you got that underway. Good stuff. We'll be there with bells on.
Research. Is that what's called? Research?
That's good. Twan, how about you down in Charleston? Anything going on?
Nothing to report really down here. I think the only thing that I'm planning on is a basketball watch party, really kind of run out of time for football. One thing I'd like to mention, I've been, and this is related to the Charlotte thing, Ken, I recently started looking at some places on some of the lakes or somewhere down there. And I think, is that kind of where we're heading, that maybe we ought to be looking for, you know, a place for the weekend on, I forget what lake it was. It was actually right behind Virgil's house. Is that the type of thing we're shooting for that event, is to get that many people and, you know,
so renting a house together, or is that what you're asking? If we should be renting a house together?
No, I mean, and it's what our guys should be thinking about is you're going to come down for the weekend, pair up, you know, or lake houses are very much available down there for the weekend, is what I'm saying. And should that be part of the encouragement for that weekend or whatnot? So I'm just throwing out an idea, I guess.
I don't think that's
bad.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Lake Wylie is.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Not really convenient to the stadium, but if you're just looking to have a place to stay, I guess, for what, Saturday night or something like that, obviously Charlotte is a large enough city. There are tons of hotels right downtown that would have much easier access to the stadium. If you wanted to go big, you know, more power to you, but I don't know if that should be part of the conversation overall, because I don't think we want to scare people away by thinking it's
right.
Too big of a deal. To, you know, it's supposed to be just a tailgate, was what I was initially thinking. Because they already have the events where they all get together in Morgantown in the spring and in the fall. And I don't know if we want to try and make this seem like, oh, now we're adding a third thing. I think this should be a little more casual, but this is the first time I've thought about something like that. So I'm, of course, open to ideas.
Well, let's take that offline. Just in the interest of time, I think it's a great thought train to go down and start thinking about it. But if you want to flesh that out a little bit, Twan, and maybe share some ideas with Ken, I think that's great. And then, Ken, yeah, if you start developing that now, I think it's probably not too early to start our alumni thinking that if they're going to come, here's a few ideas, and start putting it out there.
Right. Booking places is a thing to actually do right now, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've already got my hotel downtown booked.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, is whether you want to go downtown, here's some spots, or somewhere else, here's some spots, but encourage that, you know, now. So, and I think the more you encourage it now, the more people are going to go and get locked in. Because I think I've heard a lot of people that want to go to this game. So, but, all right, I'll shut up. Go to the next.
Nope.
Right, next sport.
Great. I'll chat you.
That's great. Just briefly, I'm just getting back to for Bob. I'm sorry, I got to get back to his email, find his email from earlier today.
Bob, I got it. He's hosting a December 9th Founders Day celebration, watch the West Virginia Pit game at Janovich's restaurant, Bacon Bourbon and Beer. He's got seven people planning to attend. He's trying to, in addition to that, he's trying to get Bob Dombrowski to serve as one of the council advisors. But again, December 9th is a watch party for the West Virginia Pit game, and also to celebrate Founders Day.
Okay. All right, great. We'll just get that into the minutes. That'd be terrific. Okay. I'm going to, Eric, I'm going to spare you anything from the regional leader for Baltimore and D.C. unless you have something.
Just real quick, there actually is something at Topgolf this weekend for local alumni, but I don't know if anybody on the phone cares, but they'll be at Topgolf this weekend, and I think the last day to register was today.
Okay. All right, and then Loff is not on to talk about New York, New Jersey. All right, let's go into our officer reports real quick. Historian, Brother Farley.
Nothing to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. Vice President, Chief Risk Officer, Jordan?
No report at this time.
Okay, thank you. Vice President of Fundraising, Craig Winkleman. Dr. Winkleman, did you join us? All right, I'm going to take that into my report. Vice President, Chief Information Officer, Jason Hyatt.
I have no report tonight.
Okay. And Secretary, Chief Communications Officer, John George.
A couple things. First, we'll get out a November newsletter next week. It'll be our Thanksgiving edition. And then also, Tom, with regards to Chaz Trinter's membership status, for the group that may not be aware, Chaz was a graduate in 2013-14. He was initially indicated as a 14-15 graduate, and thus the members from that year were placed in a status of not in good standing until May of 2021 due to our charter revocation. So through Tom's hard work and, I guess, research with not only the national office, but Chaz himself, determined that he is now in good standing and is an inactive member with the alumni chapter. He's also expressed interest in being on the council advisors, and Eric has his information. Did you want to add anything else to that?
Nope. Jason
is 663, just for those who are wondering.
That's really cool. I feel great about this. I'm sorry, Jason, go ahead.
I've corrected the database on that, and we'll get him added to the email list too.
Great. Thank you. I was just going to just make sure that was there. When I sent out the email, I added him just manually. It's unfortunate he lost 2 years, and I hope that there's no one else like that. I don't think there is, but he's been – I think he accepted our apologies. He's looking forward to getting back involved, and he lives in Fairmont. He's a teacher, so we're lucky. To have come across him, and he's agreed to do the training and all that. So thrilled. Thank you, John. That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to the newsletter next week. Okay, our Treasurer and Chief Financial Officer, Patrick Olio.
Hey, guys. Earlier this afternoon, I sent all of you an updated budget, actual to date. I still have to go through and kind of do some fine tuning to it. So that's what I'm going to do over the next couple of days. As you can see, and what you will see is what our expenses are, what you have in your particular line item, what you have spent, any variance, whether you're over or under budget. What's really standing out as of right now is our fundraising. We have raised a total of about $3,137.27, which is $14,000 less than what we had projected. And of that $3,100, 14 of it is event specific for the alumni weekend and homecoming. So that's something that we is a kind of just that pops out immediately and something I think we need to, and I think Tom will be addressing here in a few minutes, but it's something where we need to start focusing on. We need to all of us as a board have to start thinking about how we can reach out to other people for fundraising after Tom. And I think Craig, Dr. Winkleman will give us a great plan of action from here on out, especially since we're now coming back on campus. So take a look at that. So that's the revenues. As it relates to other expenses, most of you haven't spent any money. Most of the money that has been spent has been by myself for just fees and stuff, and then Jason with social media and these calls, and then in for homecoming and for the alumni weekend. We did go over budget for the alumni weekend. We are under budget right now for homecoming. I don't think there are any more expenses coming in. We didn't raise as much money as we thought to cover the entire nut for homecoming, so part of that will be coming directly out of the budget. I think I've caught everything. Is there anyone out there that has an expense that I have not paid or that you need to submit? Okay. The one thing I've also added in, there's a line item now that we have. Well, I didn't add it in. We had it in. It's for rechartering, and we are already over budget on that over the past week, couple weeks when Tom came back up to meet with IFC and with the national office here in Morgantown. We had those expenses. So for us to go forward in the rechartering, we definitely, and I can't, I know I'm beating a dead horse, we've got to start raising money. So. Any questions on anything in the budget? Oh, and our balance in the bank is $6,258.54 as of this afternoon. All right.
Thank you. And that's the kind of sobering news that that we do need to hear, and we will talk about when we're talking about the fundraising goals and what we're going to do. Thank you. All right. Eric, Vice President, Chief Operating Officer.
Yeah, just real quick. Bob already put in his report about Dombrowski and trying to get him involved in the advisor role. And then we have Chad as well. And then I've got a couple other feelers out. So, but if anybody has anybody else that they're thinking of that might be interested, just please let me know.
And I just want to just piggyback on that just a little bit. If you guys, you know, if you have somebody that you remember, recall is a good vice archon, a great warden, somebody that you think is good. Again, we don't need them to necessarily be in or near Morgantown. There are, again, the technology that we have allows us to advise. So please don't hesitate to do what Bob Lochner did and suggest a guy like Bobby D. I think it's a perfect thing if he's willing to do it. Please help Eric identify guys that you think would be great advisors for our men. Okay. I don't think that Dr. Laffa has joined us. No, he has not. Craig, have you joined in the interim? Nope. Okay. I'm going to go through my report. I'm going to try to get it done quickly. I want to start out of order from the agenda that I have given you guys. Hold on. For those of you who are on the Uber conference, I want to start with Spring Alumni Weekend and talk about our tentative plans. It's set. We've announced it 20th, 21st of April. Here's what it to me is looking like. We're going to start the afternoon. I think we're going to go back to the fishbowl for 3 o'clock afternoon welcome sort of reception, like we've always done for people who get into town early. That evening, we're going to do another dinner And that reception, I've already talked to and gotten room reserved at the Altria's, I can't forget the name of the way it's pronounced, but the Holiday Inn Hotel where we had it last year. This year with the hopefully associate members, we're going to have a bigger dinner. So I told them and they said, we'll accommodate anything, any size. So don't worry about it. We'll have it there. So it'll be dinner and then followed like we did last year with cocktails afterwards and just anybody that wants to hang around. Again, following morning, 10 o'clock, we'll have, and Dr. Richardson is helping us secure a room in the Mountain Lair. We'll have our business meeting from 10 to no later than noon. And then after that, what I'm trying to put together right now is a coordinated event with Stepping Stones to where we invite five or six families to join us at the WVU versus Kansas State baseball game. My thought right now is to keep costs low, is to do it just buying general admission tickets or tickets inside the park. But I'm also going to be trying to reach out to the WVU athletic department to see if we can coordinate some sort of a first pitch to raise some awareness around not only having them out, but to bring some attention to the ability experience. I think that would be a really cool thing to have the associates see, and also just a neat way to raise awareness in our community. So I'm working with them to do that. And then I've reached out to Mike to see if they wanted, if the Housing Corporation wants to host their event at Mike's house again for Saturday evening. I imagine the answer is going to be yes. I think he's already said that, but hasn't given me something definitive. So that's what Spring Alumni Weekend is going to look like. And I think it's going to be an added excitement around it. We'll have associate members, and I want them engaged and with us through that weekend. So it's going to be really cool for us to make a good first introduction to a lot of these guys for our alumni. Any questions on that? Okay. A quick update on the rechartering effort and what is going to happen. Obviously, in 10 minutes, we're going to open it up, and anybody who joins the call will give this to. In short, we're on track, man, and everybody's excited. So I've spoken with a few people down in Charlotte who are fired up. I think it was a cool experience last week to get to do what we did. We had that dinner the night before, and then that following day we met with the IFC president. We did a tour of the Greek houses and got to see some new construction that had gone on since I'd been there, at least. And then met with the full IFC and presented our model for coming back on. What he just said to us, that news is massive. They had, I can't understate how great that is for us. We have essentially we're on our own island to be able to do this, and they're going to give us the support that we need. They're giving us office space. They're giving us the support for the four men that are going to come in and do and lead the expansion. It's better than what most other expansions happen. So that's really great news for us. That is, I'm so thrilled that they're doing with it. We got a tremendous amount of compliments from James Maloney, who is the director of expansion, who I spent that Monday with. They are, again, I know I say this a lot, but we have gotten so many accolades for what our efforts have been in this and how we've gone about it, how professional it is. It's job well done from everyone, from all the efforts that we've done. It's really led to this. So I'm thrilled. All right, let's, I want to go through quickly what we're going to do. I had a quick phone call. I talked to the director of the foundation, the director of operations for the foundation, Pi Kappa Phi's foundation today. Eric Baldwin had shot me an email when I asked about the high dollar members to contribute. You know, we've got to look at a way to make some of this tax deductible. And in the past, contributions to us have been really difficult to try to filter through the foundation. And I had inquired with not only the PICAP Foundation, I'd inquired through the WVU Foundation to be able to get some sort of tax deduction for contributions. The problem has always been that the restrictive nature in which you can use those funds when they're funneled through a foundation would really restrict what we could do. So I just reached out again last week to Denise Nelson, who runs the alumni engagement for Pi Capify, and just said, I just want to visit this just in case that there's something that's come up that we don't know about or that's changed in tax code over the course of the last few years. And so she gave me the contact information for this guy from the foundation, and Chris Connor is his name. And Chris and I spent a good portion of today discussing exactly what we might be able to do. Long story short, he gave us some hope that in the future, and when I say in the future, starting next spring, January, February, he's going to work with us to try to roll out something specifically for us that will allow us to make part or even some of people's, all of their contributions tax deductible. So he's asked us for right now, it was not an ask, but he suggested that rather than go with the initial idea of having us right now go after the people with the high dollar contributions, the 5,000 and up, to hold off and give him time to work through this. So that's what I'm going to do. But what we have to do and what we have to really do well right now is take what our existing levels are, and we've got to go out there and raise at least $10,000 of the $25,000 that we need in short order. So, again, in the announcement that I made, I talked about this and I said that we were going to be doing the contribution campaign. But that we needed to, we got to get on this. And what Patrick said is, look, we've had less than $1,000 come in for just contributions that weren't, the $3,000 number includes what we've collected for our spring and fall events. So if you just strip out people that are doing recurring and that have just given us money is $1,000, $500 of that coming in one shot. So we've got to get on this. We've got to go crazy. So we're going to announce this, the contribution campaign, after today. We're going to roll it out. But I need this message to be delivered by all of us. What I fear is that my voice in constantly communicating with the members, I think the fundraising needs to be heard from another voice or several other voices. I hope that makes sense. So, what we can do, we're going to find ways of getting that out there, but I just need you guys to be ready to step in and start asking peers and pledge class brothers and friends to really consider giving as part of this contribution campaign and why. So today and tonight in 4 minutes, I'm going to go through those costs and how they work. But just be on board with that and we'll get there. I'm going to stop here just to give us time to ask any questions around it, or anybody have any comments around the fundraising.
Yeah, Tom, it's Patrick Folio. I would agree. Whoever was speaking, go ahead.
No one was speaking. It's you.
Oh, it must be an echo. I have to agree that I think that we need to, and possibly we all as a group can identify some people to spearhead a campaign that they can be the co-chairs or a chair, so that they're leading the charge. But it's basically going to come down to each and every one of us reaching out to people that were in our classes or that we were close to and start asking for contributions. And I know there are times when I loathe having to do it, but I think at this point we need to get it done So I think after Tom and Craig and we've come up with a plan of action, then, you know, however we support each other, don't hesitate to ask. That's what we're here for.
I thank you for that. So far, we have no one else that's joined just to hear the fundraising portion. So we can continue on just for another minute or two. Does anyone else have any comments regarding that?
Hey, Tom, it's Matthew Miner. I am actually about to leave, but I wanted to say thank you guys so much for inviting me on the call. I look forward with working with all of you the rest of the semester and throughout the spring semester. And it's really reassuring to see like how involved you guys are getting with the expansion and stuff with Pi Kappa Phi. So, again, I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to talking to you all soon.
All right, Matthew, good luck, and we'll talk to you soon. All right. Okay. Anyone else on the fundraising effort? Okay. I don't think there's any old business, and I don't think there's any new business. I'm gonna skip the open to all members for right now, just because we're running out of time. And last 2 years, we have not had a December call, but given the fact that we've got so much going on right now, and I know it's such a terrible time of the year, I'd like to move the conference call up a week rather than the third week of December, which is the 20th. Wednesday, December 13th, we are going to have a call. I understand that there's a lot going on with Christmas parties and just things in general, shopping. But if you can, please be on the call. I will make it as short as possible, but we have some things that we're going to want to discuss. So with that, can I have a motion to adjourn the business meeting?
So moved.
67 second, please. I need a second, please.
Second.
Okay, Jason second, Hyde, second.
Hard second.
Thank you. Without objection, this portion of the meeting is over. Let's just chill out for just a second before we get and see if anyone indeed takes us up on the invitation to join us to hear this. So far, nobody knew.
Tom, while we're on just a
30-second
break, I sent over just now in an email a notice that I got, and I'm sure some other Pittsburgh area alums might have also received, and a national organization-sponsored Pittsburgh alumni event first week of January.
Okay, great.
So that's something we might want to. I copied Bob on that as well to make sure we get on our radar for an event for our Pittsburgh area group.
Absolutely. And another thing while we got this, and again, before everybody, the regional leaders, you should be checking the PICAP website, not frequently, but regularly. And what you'll see is on their homepage, right on the left, there are a number of events that they list. So the ones that are in yellow are alumni events, and there are many different types of regional events that they're holding in our regions. So I'd like for you guys to be able to see these and then publicize them if you don't mind. That would be great. So,
hey, Tom, I think you can get on the email list for those too, because they send them to me out from DC all the time.
Yeah, and I think that was because we gave David the information for our region and who is. So I think he used our data to create that distribution list. So anyway. All right. I'm not going to prolong this. I'm going to just, for those of you that want to hear this, by all means, stay on. I think it's important that we all are on the same page. what's the timeline look like and what this is going to do. I'm not going to go through the history. I was prepared to do that if there was a bunch of the, how did we get to here? What had happened? What was the things that transpired to get us to this point? I think we all know. But moving forward, what does this look like? Again, the process of reorganization, which is what we have to do, will begin officially right after formal rush is concluded in January. What we do is we give the existing fraternities and sororities on others, and what we'll do here at WVU is the ability to finish up their recruiting, and then we come on and start our effort. We have gotten, James is committed to send 4 staff members to Morgantown for several weeks to do this. And what they do is they go and they literally live at the mountain layer, at the dorms, and they build a list of at least, they try to get at least 500 names built to cull that down to 75 to 100 bids that they're going to give. Okay. So that process will start in the spring. And let me back up too. One of the things that Dr. Richardson and Matt are helping us with is they are heading the search for our chapter advisor. He's identified a person that he thinks might actually want to do this. And what he told me about her was that she is fantastic. And if what he's showing me and sending me is accurate, we'll interview her and we'll form our own opinions. But if what he's saying about her is true, she could be the perfect solution for us as a chapter advisor. And yes, for those of you who don't know, there's several chapters that have chapter advisors that are female, and it works out just fine. So I have no hesitation at all for a female chapter advisor. If that's what we get, it will be just fine. But it also underscores the need for the council advisors. November, December, that timeline is done because mid-January, the chapter advisors were sending that chapter advisor down to Birmingham, Alabama for official chapter advisor training. The national office will finance that for us, and the travel will be taken care of by them. But we certainly want to make sure that we also support them for any incidentals of travel that they need that the fraternity won't cover. So we'll be doing that. Eric will be completing his search for the Council of Advisors over the course of the next several months. I think as long as we've got the council set by, you know, I'd like to have it set by mid to late January, and then have them ready to be trained sometime in the spring. Spring of 18, again, the associate members are going to begin working towards their goal, the program that they need to complete for, for rechartering. There's a several semester thing that they've got to achieve in order to meet that. So they'll be starting that in January. Spring again, we will be hosting, and this is one of the big expenses that we will have to finance, is the Council of Advisors will be coming to Morgantown to have a full training that the staff from Charlotte's going to conduct for them. We are part of, again, the Strategic Planning Committee. Us and the National Office is going to train the Council of Advisors in their positions and specifically go through the strategic plan and how we're going to implement that. So that's going to be sometime in the spring. Again, April, we'll have the alumni weekend with the associate members. Fall of 18, they're going to continue to work towards the recharting with our support. We will have the national office will have a leadership consultant that is dedicated for expansion, but he's not going to be spending weeks at a time in the fall. So we'll need to have boots on the ground to support the efforts of the rechartering, working towards that rechartering. Spring of 19, again, they're going to continue working toward the rechartering goals. And if all goes well and they meet those requirements, we will be conducting the rechartering and installation of the Alpha Road chapter in April of 2019, which we will do in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of the 1978 rechartering. So, and then finally, fall of 19, we will take back over the lease of the fraternity house and move them back in starting in that summer and fall of 2019. So again, until fall of 2019, all of the operations that they'll do will be out of the mountain lair. And we think that's a, you know, that's a smart thing to do. So what are our roles and responsibilities? Again, we talked about a lot of this, we're going to be funding the support of the expansion teams and the Council of Advisors to maintain a presence the entire time they have an associate chapter. So, you know, the way that other campuses do this, they have the leadership team, the expansion team come on campus, and then it's not that they're just dropped off and said good luck, but they are a lot of independence in that. And although we do a very good job as a fraternity with that, there are some success or not successful stories. So what we're going to do and what we've planned on doing since the very beginning was making sure that we have support for them through those semesters, through the fall of 18 and spring of 19 until the rechartering is done. So us, the Council of Advisors, we're gonna take a more active role than what is normally done on other campuses. The other thing is we must send leaders. They're going to have elections of their own associate leadership team, and they're going to they're required to send people to Supreme Chapter next summer. So we have another funding obligation to not only sending the representatives from the alumni chapter, we have an additional two that we're going to have to finance from the new students to get them to Chicago for a Supreme Chapter. We're going to be buying them new ritual equipment. We are going to be, again, providing the cost for the Council of Advisors training, so that those that are coming in are not going to be out of pocket. And then also on the constitutional duty for the president of my chapter to teach the history of Alpha Rho to the associate members once a semester, that's, we've got to account for that. So the final thing, which is a huge expense that's going to begin in fall of 19, is we are going to have a graduate assistant live in the fraternity house. The role of that graduate assistant, as we talked about before, is going to be to support the chapter advisor and be the eyes and ears of the chapter advisor in the house, and will also support the housing corporation president in making sure that the things that need to get done from a housing standpoint are done. So another thing that Matthew and I talked about that during that period of time was he's piloting a plan to identify who those graduate assistants could be on a year-to-year basis. As they come in, they're working in towards a higher education degree. He wants to give those students practical experience, and he thought, what a wonderful way, when I told him about what we were doing, what a great way to kind of mesh the two. So we'll have the ability to do that, but that's cost is about $5,000 to $7,000 annually. So we have some, you know, big expenses that are going to be coming up, and they're going to be lasting expenses, which is why I think the timeliness of my call with the foundation today will roll into January and longer term planning for financing. The breakdown of costs, just so where do we get the $25,000 from? A quick rough estimate is we're going to need about $7,000 to $10,000 to educate the Council of Advisors, do the boots on the ground during the rechartering. We're going to need about $2,500 to send the two representatives to Chicago for Supreme Chapter. The training, another $2,000 for the Council of Advisors, because we're bringing them into Morgantown to do what we talked about doing. The ritual equipment, it's about $5,000 we've got budgeted. And then again, the graduate assistants will be about $7,000 a year. So we immediately, we've got to get to that $25,000 number. Now, when you add in our own operations to have our events and to continue the outreach that we're doing for our own group, you know, we're talking a little bit in excess of 25,000, probably closer to 30,000. So that's why we need to do this contribution campaign. That's why it has to be successful. And hopefully, through that period of time, we'll have established a great base of operation on campus. We'll be able to implement the advice that we talked about in strategic planning, and we'll be well on our way. So, you know, that's about it. From what I had prepared to talk about, I plan to open it up for any questions. So does anyone, I know that was quick. I know that was a lot of information. Does anyone have questions about that?
Hey, Tom, it's Patrick Folio. If you would, let's schedule some time post-Thanksgiving to really go through budget items so we can line item these in a budget document. Because there's just a lot of, I want to make sure that we have captured everything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good. Absolutely. And those are rough. And again, I think we talked about this before. We talked about it in April at the planning meeting, and what our budget was looking like was certainly like that. So,
let's do, now that it's time to put, you know, paper to pen, pen to paper, let's actually do it and get it ready so that we can, from here on out, have the best numbers that we possibly can have.
Okay. Sounds good. So tell me what else. Anybody, any other questions?
Hey, Tom, it's 67. As we look at this time frame, what do we know or not know about optional plans if certain goals aren't met?
I don't want to think in those terms, but...
Well, we have to, though.
I know. You know, then we got to prioritize. And I think what we've got to do is say what's required and what's hopeful and what can we lean on from the national office to support us through this. And I think the number one thing would be is travel into Morgantown to get the boots on the ground. I would start with that, not do as much of that if we had to. You know, could we make do with less? Can we make do with the local guys, and what they're able to accomplish? So, you know, I guess we would start there. And again, I don't want to come with those contingencies of what we don't do. I would like to blindly believe that we're going to get this done. I don't think anybody, when we first did the contribution campaign and we had a goal of 20, and I think that was a real stretch. I think publicly we said we needed to raise 20. I was hoping we'd raise 5, and we got, right? So it was better than what I had internally thought we would get. We're asking for 25 now. I think we'll have a reasonable case to make to our members. I think it's more reasonable now than it was a couple years ago. We're much more engaged. We're much more professionally run than we were a couple of years ago when we first asked for this. And I think, again, with the help of the foundation, what we're going to be able to do is identify the people that are within our list that I asked to have who are likely to give. One of the things I didn't mention is that what they're assisting us already on is the names that you guys sent me for potential large donors. They're going to run through some software that's been developed to identify the likelihood that they would contribute in a meaningful way. There's screening that can be done. There's algorithms that they've created to really identify the likelihood that they're going to do it. It's a neat tool. We had something similar to it when I worked for my old place that we would use to identify likely clients. So that software exists, and it's cool. So we'll be better able to professionally go after these people and make pitches and make real honest pitches about what this is. If we can layer in some tax advantage ways of doing this, I think it's our case that much stronger. But you know, what we've got to keep our eye on in terms of the contribution campaign is something that he mentioned to me today in professional fundraising. And Patrick, you might know this just in your work with what you've done over the years. There's a threshold there that you feel around and you get a feeling for, and that tax deduction isn't as important. I think what we have done right now, I don't think there's anyone that isn't giving us money at a $1,500 level, which is our highest level right now, because there's no tax deduction. Now, again, would it be better? Would we have it? But I don't think that not one of those people that contributed on that level asked about a way to do it in a tax-favored way. So we have to go out and ask for what that is. We need to say to people, $250 is not a big deal. That's active membership. That's something that we can expect and should expect our members to give, and then hopefully they'll do it at the other levels. I know that's a long-winded answer to you, but I don't want us to take the mentality of this is a task that's not accomplishable, because I think it is very much accomplishable. And if we coordinate this and we work together, and we lay out the case to our members as to what it is and why we need it, I really do think that we'll get to where we need to be.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's conclude it there. Even with this extra time, it's only 5 minutes after 7 and the Mountaineer basketball game just started. So hopefully you guys get the whole thing in. Thanks, guys. Honestly, sincerely, and what I put in the email last week was the God's honest truth. This is a culmination of a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of effort on all of yours parts. This isn't just a me thing. This isn't just a couple of guys. This is all of us, and even some of the guys that couldn't continue on the board, Chris Denson and Nick Austin. Those guys, all of us, have given a ton of effort. And I got to be honest with you. When we came, the way that it happened with the IFC is they asked us to step out and vote while they voted. Just wait outside and took a couple of seconds, and as we walked back in the room, they just spontaneously started clapping. Nothing was said, no words were congratulations. It was just clapping, and it caught me off guard and it choked me up. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to cry here. And I held it together. I didn't, but it choked me up for sure. And it was certainly a time to reflect back on the many years that it's been. It's gone by quickly, I think, in a lot of respects, but 2015 and the May of 2015 to now, we've done a tremendous amount of work, and we've positioned ourselves extremely well to position our next student chapter with a lot of incredible things that they can do. And I'm just so proud and so thankful for all of you that you continue to do this with me. So I just wanted to end the call that way and just give you again my sincere thank you for everything you've done and time you've taken away from your friends and family. I will never be able to repay, but just know how appreciative I am. And I'm proud to be a PICAP, and thanks, guys. It's been a great call.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.